League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome to another sparkling edition of the Two Mics on the Record. We are, of course, the Two Mics, and this is On the Record. It's a thrilling podcast. It comes out twice a week from our friends at Audio Boom. You can get it on all sorts of different platforms. iTunes, Spotify now have it. You can get it on Podbean, all sorts of other little different podcast addict, that kind of stuff. Mike Porky Parry is here.
Yep.
What do you got for us, Mr. Parry, today?
Well, listen, I do like people who are successful in life. I like people who become famous and become wealthy, and it's all due to their extraordinary talent, all that kind of stuff. Now,
what about people who become extraordinarily wealthy and it's nothing to do with their talent at all?
Well, good luck to them, you know, and it sometimes happens. And in fact, I'm going to tell you about that in a minute, because the second story we're going to do in this particular podcast is going to be about a person who is a kind of male, but a sort of transsexual type person.
Transsexual.
Who goes around telling people how to apply makeup,
yeah,
and they make millions,
yes,
to the extent where they closed down a British city recently.
This but is anyway, one of these vloggers, is it?
Yeah, a vlogger, right, you're absolutely right. But first of all...
Maybe you should do that.
Maybe I should. First of all, what I want to tell you about is a guy called Victor Willis. Now, do you know who Victor Willis is?
I have no idea who Victor Willis is.
Young man.
Yeah.
What's the next What's the next word?
What do you mean, young man?
Well, this is about YMCA.
Oh, I thought you were doing young some man. Brian Clough impersonation.
No.
Young man.
No.
Actually, young man. Great, wouldn't it?
There's Brian no Clough. Need to... Was it...
you mean YMCA?
Yeah. Young man. There's no need to...
There's a place you can go.
I said, young man. There's a place you can go. Young man. There's no need to be afraid. Or something like that.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, that song was written... and performed by the group YMCA. And Victor Willis was the guy who wrote the words.
It wasn't, then the song was YMCA.
Eh? Oh, that's right, yeah, Village People.
Village People.
Now, the Village
People...
They
were American, weren't they?
They're Americans, and it was a collection of really odd-looking characters. One was dressed as a motorcycle cop.
I think the whole point
like
of
Chips.
The Village People,
yeah,
was it not, was similar to what used to go on in Greenwich Village, right?
Yeah.
The West Village.
That's right.
Which was very gay. There's a street in West Village called Christopher Street.
Yes.
Right? And do you not remember the great story that Ivor Key used to tell?
What was that?
Where he and Brian Vine and
yes,
a couple of other people, I think before our time,
yes,
had decided to go down to Christopher Street
and take the mickey out of people.
For a bit of a jolly.
Yes.
Not to take the mickey out of people,
yeah,
just to go and see what was going on, because
right,
it's becoming a big thing.
Right.
Christopher Street, of course, also became the absolute centre point for the AIDS epidemic.
Yes,
because,
that's right.
You know,
yeah,
when the gay community was hit, yeah, by that terrible disease,
yeah,
you know, that was very much the focal
that's
point.
That's right. Yeah.
At that and San Francisco, of course,
yeah,
right? But so they all went down. Mm. I think George Gordon went along with them.
Right.
All these Fleet Street hacks, right, in their suits.
Yes, yes.
And they turned up at this gay bar.
Yeah.
And the guy standing at the gay bar was wearing these leather chaps.
Right, yeah.
But with the arse out of them.
No, you know, I see. Yeah, 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 yeah. I know, yeah.
Like leather trousers.
Yeah,
no,
not a
back,
good look.
No backside.
Not
well,
a good
look. It's a good look for a gay
well,
bar.
Chaps are leather covers to Levi jeans,
yeah,
when you're a cowboy.
Yeah, but they
to
didn't
keep
have
the dust
jeans
off
on
your jeans. Didn't have the jeans on,
but
right,
he was
okay.
The bouncer, right?
Right.
And they went in. And the guy's like, you gentlemen are very welcome to come in. They're very,
yeah,
you know, they went inside. They had a couple of drinks. And as they left,
yeah,
and they had a perfectly good time. As they left, the guy said, gentlemen, you're welcome to come back anytime.
Mm.
We love to see you people from England.
Mm.
But please, next time, would you wear leather or denim?
Mm-hmm.
And just said to them, you know, don't come back dressed in a fucking suit.
Yeah,
know?
Really?
Yeah.
Absolutely disgraceful.
Very funny.
Well, anyway, one...
So that's how people dress down there.
Yeah, that's how people dress. But one description of Village People that was given was that we were a microcosm of the American society and people.
Okay.
So one of them was dressed as an Apache, you know, Indian.
Right.
One of them was
Native American.
One of them was dressed as a cowboy.
Yeah.
One of them was dressed as a construction worker because every city in America is constantly building things.
Yeah.
One was dressed as a CHIPS type cop, California Highway Patrol Services, with a helmet on. One was dressed as, just in leather gear, really, with chains and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not sure what the fifth guy was dressed as, or the sixth guy, I'm sure. It was six of them.
Isn't that some kind of military regalia?
So, yeah, I think it was, yeah, like a G.I. Joe or something like that, yeah. But anyway, the point is, this guy, Victor Willis, he wrote the words to a song called YMCA, and then he wrote the words to... In the Navy
in
and
the
Go
Navy,
West.
Yeah. Yeah, those were three good songs.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, the Pet Shop Boys do a great version of Go West.
Yes, they do. Oh, yeah, fantastic.
Really
yeah, fantastic. Anyway, he wrote these. Then some guy came along and said, yeah, they're good lyrics. I'll do some music for them. That became YMCA, right? And he said, when asked, Victor Willis, what inspired you to write the song YMCA?
Yeah.
He said, well, a guy I work with, you know, in the sort of music industry called Jacques, had been walking down the street down in the village, in Greenwich Village.
Right.
We saw the YMCA sign and he asked me what it was. And this guy was French, Jacques. I told him it's a Young Men's Christian Association. I said, do you want me to write a song about this? And he said, yes. He said, because I play music. So he said he'd write the music and asked if I'd write the lyrics. So I wrote the lyrics. That was when I was 26. By 27, I was a millionaire.
Amazing.
And I've been a millionaire ever since, okay, after writing all those other songs. But the point of the whole thing is, talk about having a charmed life. Again, Victor Willis was asked, did you make a lot of money from Village People? He said, I made tens of millions.
Right.
He said, I've been making money with YMCA for 40 years. It grosses, that song alone grosses millions of dollars a year, even now.
Well, you do hear it all the time.
Yeah,
don't you?
Yeah.
It's one of those songs, and I've just worked out that the first line is, young man, there's no need to feel down.
That's right, yeah, that's right, yeah, yeah, that's right,
but
yeah.
I can't remember what the second bit is. Anyway.
But absolutely incredible. This guy walked around with usually about $40,000 in his pocket.
Why?
Well, how much do you have in your pocket at any one time? He says, I like to walk around with about $40,000 in my pockets. However, my wife, Karen, knows a lot more about money than I do, and she doesn't like me to do it. So sometimes she only gives me $50 to $100 at any given time.
To walk around with 14 grand.
Well,
that's a hell of a wedge apart from anything else.
Yeah, exactly. Particularly if you get mugged or something like that. But I suppose in $100 bills, maybe. Yeah, but you're absolutely right. Where would you put it all? I remember once somebody gave me like $6,000, you know, for a job I'd been doing. And
it was
cash in hand stuff.
Well, did you declare it?
Of course I declared it to the tax authorities. Yeah, yeah. But I have to say, in £50 notes, that was pretty hard to keep around my body.
Well, that's what I mean. So, can you imagine what 40 grand's like?
Well, if this guy's walking around with 40, he must have had a bag. You can't put it in your pocket. It's just too much.
No, I wouldn't have thought so.
You know, the biggest bill in America is $100. So 1,000 is 10 bills.
I think there's a $1,000 bill.
I think there is a $1,000 bill. I think you're right, yeah.
No, I mean, you couldn't spend it, could you?
No, that's right, yeah. But he said, how did you join the Village People? He said it was the concept of my French mate, Jack. And he had a partner called Henry Bololo. I was brought in to write words and lead the group into singing. I was the best singer.
Okay.
And he did. But fantastic success story.
Amazing.
And I wrote
them. After that period of time, I mean, those three songs, I'm sure, as he says, would keep him very, very much alive and kicking for the rest of his life and keep him very wealthy. But I don't think... I wonder what you think about the fact that, you know, you just don't really do any more work.
Yeah.
You know, because these guys kind of stop. I was listening, funnily enough, to an interview the other night when I was driving in the car with the two guys from Roxy Music.
That's right.
Phil Manza or something.
I don't know who the others were.
Yeah.
Brian Ferry and Eno. That was about
it. Well, Eno was in Roxy Music sometimes, but not all the time.
Right, okay.
There was a guy called Andy McKay, I think.
Right.
And another guy, and they're quite posh, very sort of middle class boys.
Sort of came from sort of a charter house or something like that.
And they said, oh, do you know, we were always doing, he said, we didn't do an album for a long time, but we were always doing solo work.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, I remember Brian Ferry's solo album, like when he did Smoke Gets in My Eyes.
That's right.
But I don't really
remember. And Jealous
much,
Guy.
I don't remember much of their solo work.
No.
He said, but we'd always come back together and do another album.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
And they were always on you know, doing something.
Sure, yeah.
As a proper musician. But these guys,
yeah.
Suddenly they just stopped working.
Well, of course they did, because they had so much money. So I don't know what they did. Maybe followed the other pursuits in life.
I mean, like, you're the same in a way. I don't mean the same. But I mean, if you didn't work anymore, it wouldn't be a massive loss to you in terms of your financial situation.
No, it would be a massive loss to my status
in
life.
That's what I mean.
And
this is what I'm saying.
Reason for getting up in the morning.
No, but that's what I'm saying. So you want to keep, because of what we do, we would assume that we'll continue to do what we do until we drop dead.
That's right,
literally,
absolutely.
Because there's no reason to stop talking.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not like you have to carry anything or drive anywhere
No. Now, funny you should say that,
I'm
right?
saying they must just miss working, you know?
Well, perhaps they don't. Perhaps some people don't. You know, my members of my family have retired at the age of 60. I don't know what they do. They play golf. Yeah. They go walking.
How much golf can you play?
Yeah. Well, okay, maybe only once or twice a week. They're politically active. They, you know, they get involved locally and put leaflets through doors and all that kind of stuff. Mm. They go to sort of Pilates classes and all this kind of stuff, seriously.
Yeah.
And they seem to like it. But funny enough, that takes me on to another story I was going to tell you about, okay?
Go on.
Now, there's a guy in Germany.
Yeah.
And his name is Lasse Reingans.
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 Yeah.
He's only 38, but he's a technology entrepreneur from the city of Bielefeld, which is in northwest Germany. He has a very successful company, and he has introduced the five-hour working day for all his employees.
5 hours?
Without any reduction.
Sounds like my sort of working day.
Without any reduction in their remuneration, because he says, as a dutiful employer, he has a responsibility to improve their lives, okay?
Yeah.
Yep. He represents what he says is called the Mittelstand.
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 What does that mean?
It's Middle Germany. It's the term for the tens of thousands of small and medium-sized businesses.
So he's claiming to be a sort of man of the people.
Man of the people, yeah. Which bolster Germany's economic heartland. Yeah, that's right. And he says the reason he's doing it is because, and I didn't know this either, in Germany, there's a 61% shortage of valuable workers.
Right.
And there are 1.2 million vacancies unfilled in the mid-market German company structure.
Well, that's one of the reasons they always used to have those guest workers in from Turkey.
That's right, yeah.
Because they had a massively mobile workforce. But
that's
they
right.
needed people to work from outside of the country.
That's right.
Just come in and work in and leave again.
That's right.
Now,
he says it's not just altruistic. The point is that to get workers these days, you've got to offer them conditions they've never enjoyed before.
Yeah.
So last year, for instance, the Bavarian metal and electrical industry offered its 480,000 employees a choice of a one-off cash payment of 1,500 euros or 8 extra days off each year. More than two-thirds of the workers took the days off.
Right.
Because they wanted more leisure time.
Mm. Well, I think there's definitely a move towards more leisure time and
more
kind of time to have for yourself.
Yeah.
Rather than sitting and chained to a desk all day, you know?
Well, you may say that, but you say, I couldn't do that. Now, what he's done is...
No, you don't have a job where you go and have to go into an office and sit for 9 hours every day anymore. You used to.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Well, I used to work for 14 hours a day when I was running things like TalkSport and the Daily Express.
Well, that drives you mad.
Well,
which is clearly what's happened to you.
Now, this Mr. Reingans... No, it's not. No. Now, Mr. Reingans decided to introduce a system where he sent out a memo on one Friday and said, from next week, I want you all to start work at 8 a.m. and you will finish at 1 on the dot.
Right.
There will be no cut in your wages. He said, 5 hours of concentrated work in one go with no breaks and then the afternoon off. I believe I will get greater productivity out of this, okay?
Mm. This is like the same argument where people make about the four-day week.
So yeah.
Actually, you concertinaed 5 days into four more efficient days.
Yes.
And you cut out all the lunches, you cut out all the kind of, you know, standing around outside the water cooler, chatting away, cut out the coffees, cut out the fags.
Yeah.
You'll actually concentrate all of your time into 4 days, you'll have a better private life because you have 3 days off.
Sure.
But you'll be just as efficient.
But I couldn't do this, you see. What would I do the rest of my day? Now, luckily...
Well, I mean, you could have a bit of relaxation time, couldn't you?
I have four or five different jobs, a bit like you, okay?
Yeah.
And I like to mix and match them. When I get up in the morning, I'm delighted if I've got half a dozen emails from half a dozen different people involving half a dozen different projects, right? What I didn't know, and I'm not sure this has been made clear to people... in the Brexit situation, is that since 1970, the average working week in Germany has shrunk from just over 38 hours, which is about what it is in Britain today, to an average of 26 hours.
Oh, really?
German workers now work an average of 26 hours a week, okay? 26
but
hours
not
a week.
Any worse off.
Not any worse off.
Well, I think that's a good thing because, I mean, the thing is, you know, you might say, for example, for you, it doesn't work. You don't like that idea, in which case you could always work more.
Yeah.
It's not a problem.
Yeah.
But if you've got a family, you know, a lot of people don't see their kids enough. A lot of people would like to see their kids more.
Maybe.
And a lot of people would like to spend more time with their families while not suffering, you know, any financial hardship.
Bore me to death, man.
Well, you haven't got a family, though.
No, no. Well, I've got family. I've got sisters
you haven't
and
got kids,
nieces.
I mean. You haven't got a wife and kids.
Yeah, well.
But many people who do, and many women who have husbands and kids, they want to. I mean, what's the point of getting married if you never see each other?
I'd feel I was defrauding the economy.
Well,
only working 5 hours a week.
That's cobblers.
5 hours a day, I mean.
You know, that's rubbish.
It's not good, in my view. It's
well,
not
how many
good.
Hours a day would you say you're going to work today?
From the time I got up this morning, I've been working since about 6:30. And it's now about nearly 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
So that suits me, about 10 hours.
10 hours.
Yeah.
So you're going to stop working soon.
I might.
When you finish this podcast, what are you going to do then?
I'm going to have an imbibement.
Are you?
And then think about what else I can do.
Does that count as work?
Well, it could do if I'm thinking and working at the same time. Because,
well, I mean,
of course, we'll
I...
work off our phones and laptops these days. If a problem comes up and I've got to solve it, I will get into the problem-solving mode of my day.
Yeah, okay.
Okay?
I think you should give yourself a bit of time off.
No, I don't.
Why
I don't.
Take a fucking holiday.
No, no, no. Where would I go?
Well, anywhere, really.
In fact, funny enough, the next time I take a holiday, if you take 2 weeks this summer, I'm going to fly to New Zealand.
Are you?
Yeah, and I'm going to...
What are you going to go there for?
I've never been there before.
There's nothing going on there.
Well, I'm going to find out. And,
no,
and if I get bored, if I get bored, I'll hop back to Sydney.
I've told you before what it was. I think it was either Mae West or somebody else who flew to Auckland and said Auckland is half the size of Queen's Cemetery and twice as dead.
Twice as dead,
I know
that's
a long
good.
Time ago, but it's not good.
Yeah, but every country, as every city... got a bar or two. I'll enjoy a glass of New Zealand white.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You could, I suppose, have some... is it Cloudy Bay they make there?
Cloudy Bay, yeah. Not a big fan of that. I don't like Sauvignon. Cheaper. New Zealand's most famous for its Sauvignon.
You don't
Sauvignon's
like
too sharp for
Do you
me.
Not like it?
No, I don't like Sauvignon.
Interesting.
Now, listen, at the start of this podcast, I told you about an amazing phenomenon. Quite recently, drivers were stuck in gridlock, forced to abandon their cars in the centre of Birmingham, around Colmore Circus, and particularly around the Bullring. Around the Bullring, right? Because of an unexpected invasion of 8,000 screaming teenagers who'd come to greet a very brief appearance from somebody called a YouTube icon.
Oh, yeah.
Now, James Charles is a superstar to young people.
Even, I've never heard of him, James
Charles. Neither have I. And even most millennials, what age is a millennial?
Millennials are around about 20-something.
Okay.
Like,
even most millennials, I've never heard of this guy. But he's very famous to millions of teenagers from what's now called Generation Z.
So that would be my 14-year-old have probably
heard
of him.
That's it, that's it, yeah. The 19-year-old beauty vlogger from New York is a household name amongst, as you quite rightly say, 14 and 15-year-olds.
Right.
He draws, he has more than 13 million subscribers online.
Yeah.
And his makeup tutorials, with their engaging and presenting style, often attract tens of millions of people
incredible,
at a time.
It? It's incredible.
Yeah.
Well, there's a guy who's similar to him, except he does other things.
Right.
Called PewDiePie.
Oh, this is the one, yeah. Swedish video gamer.
Yeah.
I've got notes on this one. And comedian Felix Zjellberg, who's 29, has 83 million YouTube subscribers and more than 20 billion video views.
Yeah.
He earned £12 million last year.
And do you know what he's doing now?
No.
He's now doing on his own sort of YouTube channel a kind of news programme.
Yeah.
Now, I haven't seen it,
right.
but I saw a story about it the other day.
Yeah.
And he's now claiming, basically, that he's got more viewers than any other mainstream media show in the world.
Wow.
So, for example, when he puts his news show on, it's watched by something like, you know, 15 million people.
What sort of news does he give you?
Well, I think what's interesting... Well, I'm not sure because I've not seen it.
No.
From the piece that I read...
Yeah.
his it's his take on events that are going on in the world,
like
so,
you and I do.
Yeah. So yeah. it's not like just you know forget about it. Here's some young spotty kid saying, hey, look at me doing you know making a pancake.
Yeah.
He's actually saying things about perhaps what's happening in Venezuela.
Yeah.
He's talking about Trump. He's talking about maybe Brexit.
Blimey.
He's giving his view on all matters of state and all things that people watch.
Yeah.
And all things that people are interested in the world.
Well, I mean, honestly, the world is changing so quickly. Because I'm finding it difficult to grasp this. But let me show you a picture of this guy standing in a telephone box in Birmingham yesterday. Yeah. Sorry, not yesterday. It was this week sometime. Yeah. And can I say that I thought I was looking at a mannequin to start off with because his face looks like it's made of wax.
Yeah. Well, he's obviously very heavily made up, isn't he?
Very heavily made up, very coiffured hairstyle.
He's deliberately kind of styled himself as gender neutral, right?
Gender neutral, and also apparently you have to be expressionless as well. You don't smile, you don't frown, you don't show any expressions and all this. But this is the way the world is going.
Okay.
Now, what does this gender neutral thing mean then?
Well, that basically means that you are not accepting the societal sort of sort of incisiveness in which you are either male or female.
Yeah.
Is basically saying, I don't accept that.
Yes.
So therefore I will be gender neutral, meaning I'm neither.
Right.
So if somebody says to you, what sex are you?
Yeah.
You say, neither.
Okay.
Right.
Well, one guy who's a fan said, times are hard at school for young men. Loads of the girls at our school are obsessed with Charles.
Mm.
This is the guy, James Charles, okay? Yeah. They're obsessed with Charles. The girls watch all his YouTube videos, and this guy's, some of his videos are about applying makeup and all that kind of stuff. This is a bloke.
So his tutorials are for women.
Yes.
Than for men.
Well, they're for anybody. This is the whole point, as you said about the gender neutral.
Yeah.
We didn't think that he would get such a grip on society, but it has gone absolutely crazy. And the police had to be drafted into Birmingham when he arrived there, right? Mm. Because there was, like, you know, possibilities of riots and barriers being smashed down, all this kind of stuff.
But this is an entirely new world.
Yeah.
That you're saying you're struggling to understand it. Well, I struggle to understand it as well. And
you've got two kids this age.
My kids are watching it. I mean, the first time I saw any of this kind of thing was when this game called Minecraft came
out. Yeah.
And they don't play it anymore. They've now moved on to Fortnite.
Right.
But Minecraft was a game invented by these two guys in Sweden. A lot of it goes on in Scandinavia.
Yes.
And they used to basically tour Europe and the world playing Minecraft in places like the O2.
Right.
With, you know, sort of 15,000
game playing, was that what it was?
15,000 people.
And you'd see what they were doing on a big screen,
But people would just literally go to see them playing it.
Yeah, yeah.
And pay a lot of money to do so.
It's absolutely amazing because it looks like the sort of average age of these people is about between 25 and 29, but they're grabbing the attention of kids the age of your children, you know, between 13 and sort of 15. So, for instance, another one called Logan Paul, American actor, 23, came to fame on Vine and Facebook before moving his short films and comedy sketches to YouTube. He earned £11 million last year.
I think I'm right in saying that got into trouble because he went into the suicide forest. Do you remember that story?
He
started filming it.
Yeah.
People said it was in terribly bad taste because he was filming some of the bodies there.
Yes.
Because apparently there is such a thing in Japan where you go and commit suicide in this particular place.
Oh, dear.
And so kind of lost a bit of his luster for a while.
Yeah.
But they're making staggering amounts of money.
Yeah.
But of course, the thing is, as we've seen with YouTube and their rules, they can change their rules anytime they want.
Right.
For example, they've now decided that they're not going to allow certain people, individuals that they don't like on the political spectrum, making money any longer from advertising.
Yeah.
Right? So that guy, Count Dankula.
Sure.
Remember him, the guy with the Nazi saluting dog?
Yes, I do,
He's had his YouTube channel demonetized.
Right.
On the grounds that he's too horrible to be able to make money.
Really?
Right?
Yeah.
So he's now out of business. He can't do it.
Yeah.
So these guys are making all this money from advertising.
Unbelievable.
It might be that they'll make it a different way if YouTube... But if YouTube suddenly decides to shut them down...
Yeah.
You know, where do they go then?
Well, with that amount of money in the bank, I don't think they'll worry. Now, there's another issue I want to bring up with you, okay?
Yeah.
And this is a moral stance which I have to take.
Okay.
We talked there about young people.
Yes.
But I mentioned to you recently a lady called Louise... and you were outraged. Well, as you quite
rightly
should have been.
No, you were outraged.
Well, I was outraged.
I actually said,
I'm fucking outraged.
No, well, hang on.
Yeah.
You, with your sort of faux morals, you know, a man who's got the morals.
I don't have faux morals.
Yes, you do. You have the proper morals of an alley cat. You're a man who thinks nothing of interfering in another man's marriage. By basically squiring away
nothing
his
to
wife.
Do with me.
Yes, it is to do with you.
I don't often know if a lady that I've been associating with
absolute
has
rubbish.
A partner. How was I? You?
Well, you can ask her.
I don't know.
You can try asking her.
Why? Why? What's the point?
So you didn't know that
she might not tell me the truth. So what's the point?
Oh, so none of these women that were married that you consulted with. Yeah. You didn't know they were married.
Well, I kind of did, but I thought their marriages were falling apart and I was helping.
Oh, that's helping. Yeah. I don't think you're ever helping.
Yeah, I think
no,
I was.
No, you were getting all worked up because we do a thing called the News Review on the 2 Mics TV, which if you haven't checked out yet, you should check out.
Yeah.
Every Monday, we give you the down, the big sort of lowdown on all the big stories. Not the ones that you're going to see on TV, not the ones that you're going to read about in the papers, but the real stories, the real business, right? Now, you were particularly worked up about some woman.
Called Louise.
Called Louise.
But that's not a real name, obviously.
It's not a real name.
No. She drives around in a camper van in Cornwall.
Right.
And because of social media, she's able to advertise what I can only describe as sexual services.
Yeah, she's a prostitute, in other words.
She's a prostitute, and this camper van has only one thing in the back, and that's a big double bed.
Yeah.
And she will drive around, park in lay-bys, and make assignations with people who are on holiday.
Yeah.
So, for instance...
Well, I'll see you in that lay-by off the A3 or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, we know somebody used to lose a lay-by off the A3, don't we? It was a dogger, you remember?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
a dogger, you know,
off
filthy.
The A3?
Yeah, off the A3. Filthy reprobate he was, yeah.
And you didn't just do it there.
Used to peer in the back of the cars and watch people having sex.
Apparently,
disgusting
there's some
business.
Kind of code with the lights and everything.
Something like that, yeah. Flash three times. And
ask for Louise.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So, Louise, but it gets worse the more I investigated it. Not only is Louise have this camper van, but she will often get in touch with people surreptitiously. And some bloke who's brought his family to Cornwall for a holiday.
Yeah.
You know, we'll say to his wife, we had a great day out at the beach. Let's go back to the hotel, have some dinner, you know. And then, now, come on, let's put the kids to bed. Yeah. And then he'll say to the wife, oh, I tell you what, look, I'm a bit tired tonight. You know, I think I'll take an early night. She says, all right, darling, you know. And instead of taking an early night, he'll make some excuse about, you know, going to check on the spare wheel in the car because he knows Louise is parked around the corner in the camper van.
That's a pretty shit excuse.
Exactly. Get in the back of the camper
check
van.
On the spare wheel of the car.
Give her a quick, you know, Fromby Rogerizing in the back of the camper van, okay? Yeah. And return.
It's all a bit tawdry.
It's all tawdry. Return 30 minutes later, minus £95, which is apparently the standard
fee. Is that what
she
charges?
Yes, that's right.
Quite a lot, isn't it?
Well, I don't know.
For an old half an hour. Slapper in a
bag of a well, that's right, yeah. But the worst of it is, the worst of it is, for £145, Louise's partner or husband in life, who drives the camper van, will agree to join in.
Oh, really?
Yes, yeah.
Blimey.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like a good idea.
Well, I don't think it's a terribly good idea. If somebody said to me, and for another 45 quid, you can have a threesome, I would... Personally, because I'm heterosexual, expect the third person to be a woman, not a man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not that I've ever got involved in anything.
Really?
So,
have you never had a threesome?
So disgust. No, of course not. How dare you? How dare you suggest such a thing?
Well,
you
why
know?
Wouldn't you?
Well, no, you wouldn't. I mean, you know, well, it's outrageous.
Rubbish.
You know, sexually relations should be a private and intimate thing between two people, not three. That's absolutely
some
disgraceful.
Some people think it's even more than that.
Well, you know, I can't say that.
Anyway, my point about what she's doing is I find that a relatively enterprising manoeuvre for
enterprising?
Her. Now, you may say, you know, that it's below the belt and it's, you know...
Certainly below the belt.
Morals of an alley cat and all that.
Yeah.
But you've got to say, you know, this goes on. There's no point in pretending there isn't prostitution in this world. What about the Tory donor?
But prostitution on wheels, for goodness sake.
Well, why not on wheels?
Yeah.
I mean, it's on every other bloody situation. I mean, what about
disgusting.
The Tory donor who's got a block of flats full of hookers?
That's right.
From Eastern Europe.
What's it called again? It's called Ten Floors of Whores.
Ten Floors of Whores. Somewhere in
Chelsea or Kensington
or something,
isn't it?
Or something like that.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, this is a guy who's
something
given loads of money.
It's called, isn't it?
Yeah, he's given loads of money to. In fact, it was a story at the weekend about Boris Johnson knowing this guy.
That's right.
And
being
on
his private jet. That's right. Yeah,
but he insisted on paying the guy. Because he didn't want to take a freebie from
That's right, yeah.
But, you know, you're not going to tell me that all these guys don't know about what's going on.
Apparently, there's over 60 apartments in this block.
Yeah.
Every single one of them is occupied by a lady who is in the sex working industry.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so
you'd have to say that this guy, at the very least...
But it's not legal, is it? That's the problem.
Well, the problem is that unless you can prove what they're doing is illegal...
Yes.
then what they're doing is not necessarily illegal.
Exactly.
But he must be dealing with some very dodgy people who are renting these properties or who are buying
them. Normally speaking, ladies of the night have a pimp. Mm. And the reason they have a pimp is for two reasons. Firstly, it's to protect them from getting beaten up by mad punters.
Yeah.
And secondly, the pimp wants to take his percentage cut of every fee that she is paid.
Well, a lot of these women have been trafficked in here, that's
why. Oh, yeah,
they've
I know.
They've come from Eastern Europe. They've been
disgraceful.
Told, we've got a job for you in London.
They are amongst the most vulnerable in our society. I think it's disgusting and shameful.
I would
close the industry down.
Well, hang on. Yeah. This is why I'm saying that what Louise is doing is a much more down-to-earth basic service. Yeah. Which, I mean, you know, lots of people use. There's a lot of reasons why people go to
prostitutes. But it's disgusting to lure a man.
It's not your fault.
Disgusting to lure a man from his family holiday where he should be on the beach building sandcastles with his children, and all of a sudden he's Roger Eyes, as you quite rightly have described already, some old slapper in the back of a tawdry camper van that's probably, 10 years old.
Well, look. Yeah. If he is being, in your words, lured there, it's because he wants to be.
Yeah.
Nobody's making him do
it. Yeah, but if Louise's service wasn't available, you couldn't be lured
could you? She could put an advert up on the side of the van while she's sitting in a lay-by. Do you know what? I would not stop and get out of my car and get into hers.
No, of course
because
not.
Because I'm not interested in that kind of thing.
No, but it's all surreptitious. But your wife would see the advert and you wouldn't stop. This is all surreptitious. This is men who obviously...
These are men who go
log on to sex sites, what I mean?
They go to prostitutes. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, there's no reason why she shouldn't be able to do that.
No.
There's nothing wrong with
it. I think
there's a lot of worse things going on in the world.
The Devon and Cornwall police, they don't seem to have a lot to do most of the time because nothing much happens in Devon and Cornwall, okay? Should stop, messing around and arresting people who are, basically having a bit of fun on the beach, and that's what young people do during the summer.
What are you talking about?
Well, they have raves and things like that, and that's all the Devon and Cornwall police seem to do.
Drugs, then
I don't want illegal drugs being used, but you have to give young people a bit of lateral. And track down this fucking camper van that Louise is using,
Why don't you become the sort of one-man caravan hooker tracker?
Motoring around Devon and Cornwall and stopping in lay-bys and giving people leg overisms and horizontal refreshment.
It's
disgusting. It's not the sort of country that I want my children to grow up in, even though I haven't got any, but if I did have, I wouldn't, It's as simple as that,
Certainly you wouldn't want her doing it in front of the children.
No.
You wouldn't want her sort of, driving into a beach situation.
No.
And shagging people while people are on the beach.
Utterly disgusting, honestly.
The woman's got a right to earn a living. And it's very unclear, actually, in this country what the law is about prostitution.
Well,
because, for example, I don't believe it is actually illegal to pay for sex, but I think it's illegal to solicit for sex.
Of course it is. I mean, the whole thing is the sex industry, which I don't want to get involved in. By the way, just touching upon the fact that there's a new film out about Michael Jackson.
What's that going to do with the sex industry?
Well, it doesn't look good for Jacko.
Why not?
Well, it's
he's
a legend.
Dead.
It was in, I know, it's in, Sundance, which is the resort owned by Robert Redford. They have a film festival there
they
every
do.
Year.
Yeah.
And this year...
I don't think he's owned by Robert Redford.
Well,
I think he runs the film festival.
He's got a big stake in the town.
Well, he runs the film festival.
Got a big stake
in the
town.
I don't think the town is named after him or anything.
Oh, no, it is.
No, it isn't.
Oh, it is, yeah.
No, it's called Sundance.
No, yeah, but he was the Sundance kid.
Yeah, I know, but the Sundance name was not from a fucking movie.
No.
Sundance in Colorado has been there a long time.
Yeah, but you see, you'd understand. It might have been Sundance Unknown before Robert Redford and Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head.
Uh-huh.
Now it's Sundance with him as the adopted patron of the town. You see what I mean?
Yeah, I know, but it
good commercial working.
You're making out like he built the town.
Well, yeah, but he popularised it because he's Sundance. He's the Sundance kid.
What a load of rubbish.
And this film coming out of Michael Jackson's not happy viewing for Michael Jackson fans because two kids who were Michael Jackson's sort of friends, so to speak, 30 years ago.
Yeah, look, Sundance is not even a place.
Of course it is.
No, it's not.
It's a Sundance Film Festival.
The Sundance Film Festival takes place annually in a place called Park City.
That's right, it does.
In Utah.
Yeah, which they've renamed Sundance for the
haven't.
Film Festival.
No,
yes, they have.
They have not.
I know these
it's
things.
It's called the Sundance Film Festival.
Yeah.
But it's held not in a place called Sundance.
Yeah,
it's held in fucking Park City.
No, don't be silly.
Anyway. Luckily, we're out of time.
Right, okay.
But you've shown yourself to be in high dudgeon about a great many things today.
Yeah, well, I am.
I think it might be time to go to the pub for a libation.
I have a moral compass and I will not be driven off course.
All right, well, make it point to Magnetic North and we'll go to the nearest pub. We are the Two Mics. This is On The Record.
She's a prostitute and this camper van has only one thing in the back and that's a big double bed.
Yeah.
And she will drive around, park in laybys, and make assignations with people who are on holiday.
Yeah.
So, for instance...
Well, I'll see you in that lay-by off the A3. Or
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, we know somebody used to lose a lay-by off the A3, don't we? It was a dogger, remember?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. A dogger, you
was
know,
off
filthy.
The A3?
Yeah, off the A3. Filthy reprobate he was, yeah.
And you used didn't to, just do it there.
Used to no, exactly. Used to peer in the back of the cars and watch people having sex.
Apparently,
disgusting
there's some
business.
Kind of code with the lights. Everywhere.
Something like that, yeah.
Depending
flash three times, and
ask for Louise.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So Louise, but it gets worse. The more I investigated it, not only is Louise have this camper van, but she will often get in touch with people surreptitiously. And some bloke who's brought his family to Cornwall for a holiday.
Yeah.
You know, we'll say to his wife, "We had a great day out at the beach. Let's go back to the hotel, have some dinner, you know." And then, now, come on, let's put the kids to bed. Yeah. And then he'll say to the wife, "Oh, I tell you what, look, I'm a bit tired tonight. You know, I think I'll take an early night." She says, "All right, darling, you know." And instead of taking an early night, he'll make some excuse about, you know, going to check on the spare wheel in the car because he knows Louise is parked around the corner in the camper van.
That's a pretty shit excuse.
Exactly. Get in the back of the camper van.
The spare wheel in the car.
Give her a quick, you know, Fromby Rogerising in the back of the camper van, okay? Yeah. And return.
It's all a bit tawdry.
It's all tawdry. Return 30 minutes later, minus £95, which is apparently the standard
fee.
Yes, that's
it's
right.
Quite
yeah.
a lot, isn't it?
Well, I don't know.
Sort of
half an hour.
Yeah,
well, that's right, yeah.
Have you never had a threesome?
So disgusting. No, of course not. How dare you? How dare you suggest such a thing?
Well,
you
why
know?
Wouldn't you?
Well, no, you wouldn't. I mean, you know, well, it's outrageous.
Rubbish.
You know, sexually relations should be a private and intimate thing between two people, not three.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.